We're going there. So I believe that God has something to say about all of this. And so we're starting a brand new series today called Assembly Required. And I promise you, over these next few weeks, y'all, we are going to lean in. We're going to dig in. We're going to keep it righteous, but we're going to keep it real in this series at the same time. All right? So I'm just letting y'all know, buckle up your seatbelts, because we're going in. This is going to be one of them series where you need to get your friends here. You need to get your spouse here. We're going to be talking about sexuality. We're going to talk about dating, how to date God's way. I'm going to preach a message called Yesterday's Price is Not Today's Price, about having a standard when it comes to dating. Y'all not talking to me. It's real quiet already. I see what this series is going to be. But we're going to lean into it, and we're going to get into what God has for us. But I believe that today's message is the most consequential message. It is the message in which God wants to speak to us that's really going to lay a foundation for everything that he wants to do and speak to our lives. Amen, somebody? So I'm going to ask us just to stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to go to the book of Psalm, and we're going to look at Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And I believe here God has something great that he wants to speak to us. So Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And if you got your phone, I want you to go ahead and pull it out. If you got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. But there's something that God wants to do in our life today. So Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Here is what the Bible says. It says, "How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." I want to go back to verse 2. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. It says this, "Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night." The Lord's instruction. "He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we start this brand new series called Assembly Required. And I need you to tell the person standing next to you my sermon title today and tell them, "Hey, neighbor, whatever you do, follow his instructions." Come on, find somebody else and tell them, "Hey, neighbor, whatever you do, follow." You come on, I need you to clap with it. Follow his instructions. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat for what God is going to do today. Amen. Father, we thank you for all that you're going to do. I pray that you would speak to us, open up our eyes, help us to see what you want us to see. I pray that you would remove distractions and anything that the enemy would try to use to interfere with what it is that you have for us today. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And every person said, amen. Amen. Follow his instructions. Now, family, I want to start this message off by asking us a simple question. That question is this: have you ever built something that you thought you could do on your own, but it failed? And you said to yourself, "If only I would have followed the instructions." Anybody just by show of hands ever had that happen? Where you were putting something together and you failed miserably at it? We'll look at a picture and say, "Oh, I can build that. I don't need these little instructions." Little. "I don't need these little instructions. I'm going to do my own thing." But then you get back to putting it together. And then when you put it together, you look and there's a pile of pieces next to you that clearly suggests I did not follow the instructions. I did not put this together. I know some of y'all in here, you know, this is really you. You're just ashamed to admit it. Because some of us done had stuff break down plenty of times, and maybe you ask somebody around you, ask you, "Did you follow the instructions?" Because the instructions say, "I don't care nothing about your following the instructions, self. I don't care what the instructions say," right? And there's pieces all left behind. Some of y'all are like that right now. Some of y'all convicted to the heart. It's like, "Pastor, that was me yesterday." But it's interesting, y'all, because I think we all have these moments in our life where we find ourselves dealing with these matters when it comes to following instructions. And if we're honest about it, If we would have followed instructions, it would have saved us some time. It would have saved us some money, and it would have saved us peace of mind. Some of the frustrations that we have in life are simply because we didn't follow the instructions. It's not because people are crazy. I mean, they might be. But it's really because we didn't follow the instructions. And we were building something without following the proper instructions, and it became costly. How many of y'all in here can really be honest? Come on, I need us to be real in this sermon series today. Don't leave Pastor out here hanging for these next four or five weeks. But how many of y'all can be honest and say, Pastor, I look back over my life, and I did not listen to the wisdom that people tried to give me. They told me not to mess with that person. But I said, they look too good. They told me they didn't have a good feeling about that person. But I said, oh, you're just hating. Now you got heartache. Come on, anybody got a story like that like me? Am I the only one in here that want to be honest? Where somebody tried to give you some wisdom and say, I don't really know. I don't got a good feeling about them. That's just your dinner. You tripping. I got a great feeling about them. They make me feel awesome. They make me feel great. And then months later, they cheated on you. And you were like, man, if I would have just listened and followed instructions. And y'all, I think the area where we need to be reminded of this the most, because I believe that this message today is, for some of us, this might be brand new, but I think for many of us, this isn't new. It's a reminder and a caution. I think in the area of relationships, quite often, we're not following the proper instructions, but instead, we're trying to build relationships according to our own preferences and perspectives. And this text here in Psalm 1 contrasts these two approaches to living life that also can be applied to the area and to the topic of relationships. If you look here at Psalm 1, the writer says this: how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice or stand in the pathway with sinners. So already out the gate, we're beginning to see this contrast that the writer of Psalm 1 is lifting up, that there is the right way to do things, and there is the wrong way to do things. There are proper instructions, but then there are inaccurate instructions. There's the right way to go about even relationships, but then there's also the wrong way to go about relationships. And this writer is helping us see that there's a set of instructions, church family, that we can follow that does not lead to good results in life, but specifically for these next few weeks and 4 weeks in the area of relationships. So the writer says, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice. Everybody say advice. In the advice of the wicked. What is the advice of the wicked? The advice of the wicked, the writer is helping us to understand from a theological standpoint, is instruction or counsel of one who does not follow God. In other words, it's the advice of somebody who does not believe in the truth of God, who does not subscribe to the truth of God. And any advice, I want you to write this down and get this in your heart, any advice that runs contrary to the truth of God is wicked in nature. Anything that does not line up with what God says, anything that disagrees with what God says is wicked in nature. And the outcome of this type of counsel, here's what the Bible says, is actually it leads to a life of ruins. So the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. There is a way that seems right. In other words, every person wants to do what's right in their own eyes. But the problem is, what's right in your own eyes might not be right in God's eyes. There's a scripture that's constantly mentioned all throughout the book of Judges where there wasn't any godly leadership over the people. And there's a scripture that constantly pops up in the book of Judges, and it says this: and the people did what was right in their own lives. And it oftentimes was culminated with a very dark period in the life of God's people. Why? Because they decided that they were going to do their own thing. They decided that they were going to follow the ways of culture. They decided that they were going to follow the ways of the world. They decided that they were going to follow the ways of people around them. They decided that they were going to blend in rather than stand out. And the writer of Psalm 1 here is helping us to see that when it comes to life, when it even comes to relationships, there's some advice that's just not good, y'all. Can we just be honest? Every relationship advice that you get online ain't good. The TikTok relationship experts, just because they got a lot of views, don't mean it's true. And if we're honest, how many times have we followed bad advice and faulty perspectives and it led to pain? How many times have we said, I'm just going to do me? We may not have said it with our words, but we said it with our actions. And here's what Proverbs 13:20 says, the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Can I say this, and I hope you don't get offended by it. Do you know what some of our problems are? It's not that you're a foolish person. You just hang around with foolish people. You're not a fool unless you say, well, that makes me a fool, Pastor. Well, you said it, not me. Nice. Some of our issue is not that we don't know what's best. We just hang around not the best of people. A companion of fools suffers harm. And so what the Bible is helping us to understand is that when we follow the advice of people who don't know truth, especially in the areas of relationship, it causes harm in our life. It leads to injury in our life. And the writer is helping us to see that when we connect ourselves to unwise advice, it leads to pain. So when it comes to marriage, when it comes to dating, when it comes to singleness, when it comes to sexuality, the culture, the world has plenty of advice, but the problem is that advice doesn't line up with God's word. Culture gives us advice when it comes to how to date, but it oftentimes doesn't line up with God. And the end is that advice doesn't work, y'all. It falls apart. How many of you have ever been to the doctor's office because of some pain you were having or because of some condition or whatever the case may be, and the doctor was saying some things that you didn't necessarily agree with and sound right, and you said to yourself, I need to go get a second opinion. Can that help us understand something? When it comes to relationships, culture's given out a whole bunch of bad stuff. We need a second opinion. And let me take it a step further. We don't just need an opinion. We need truth. I don't need your truth. You don't need my truth. That's a very well-known colloquialism and term that people, I'm just sharing my truth. The minute you put my or our in front of truth, it no longer is truth. It's subjective. Truth is truth, whether or not you agree with it or not. You and I don't need opinions. We need truth. When it comes to relational advice, marital advice, when it comes to sexuality, we need one advice that is true. And here's the good news of the gospel, y'all. The good news of God is that we don't have to look far to figure out how to live life, how to be set free, how to move past our past, how to have a good relational life, because God has given us a gift in the form of his word and in the form of godly instructions in this Bible. He's given us the scripture that is filled with endless amounts of truth to help us in the area of relationships. Why is this so important? Because anytime you see God do anything major in scripture, he always starts with word. How do we know this to be true? Because when you go back to the book of Genesis, when God created all things, how did he create everything? With a word. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Then God said, let there be streams of water, and then there were streams of water. Then God said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image, and God made mankind. God made Adam and Eve. God always starts things with a word. And I believe that many of you are here today because of a word from God that impacted your life. You can testify to how God spoke a word, how God took you to a word in his word that changed the trajectory of your life. His word saved your life. His word saved your marriage. His word gave you hope. His word gave you insight. His word gave you direction. Praise God that God doesn't leave us to figure things out on his own. No, he gives us his word. He's given us a manual and a set of instructions. Here's what Psalm 32 verse 8 says. I was reading the Bible yesterday with my youngest. I was asking him what he read during his little devotional time, and he said, Dad, I read Psalm 32, verse 8. And I was like, boy, I read the same thing. I'm using this tomorrow in the sermon. And here's what he said. Here's what Joshua told me. He told me this from memory. I should have had you come up and say it. He said this, I will instruct you and show you the way to go with my eye on you. I will give you counsel. That's what Psalm 32, verse 8 says. It says, I will instruct you and show you the way to go. This is God speaking. He says, I will direct your steps. and show you the way to go. In other words, you don't got to guess the way to go. I'll show you the way. You don't got to Google your way. I'll show you the way. He says, with my eye on you, I will give you counsel. God is the one who will direct us. I love this because I thank God that we have a Father in heaven who's willing and able to show us the way to go in our life, even in the area of relationships, y'all. In other words, you don't got to go far to figure out, how should I do marriage? How should I go about dating? How do I deal with areas of being a parent? Because God has given us the greatest form of clarity and direction, rather, in the form of his instructions. And the best thing that you and I, do you want to know the best thing that you can do is to follow the instructions. Y'all, let me tell you this. Relationships are too complex to try to DIY this thing. Come on, I know some of us are like, man, I'm going to do it myself. I don't need to get no help. I know. I am the expert. Can I help you understand something? You got to check that pride. Because doing you will cause you to have a whole lot of heartbreak and cause you to have a whole lot of problems that you don't have to experience and that you don't have to walk through. Your relationships, one pastor said it like this, your relationships can be the closest thing to heaven on earth or the closest thing to hell. It's your choice. And as long as you and I decide that we want to do things our own way, it's going to always lead to some pain. But if we decide, as for me and my house, I am going to do what God says. I'm going to build relationships according to his word, not according to what culture says. I'm not going to do my own thing. I'm going to do what God says. I got to follow his instruction, which is why the Bible says here in Psalm 1, notice what the writer says, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway with sinners or sit in the company of mockers. Verse 2 says, instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction and he meditates on it day and night. Do you know what that means? They follow it. They follow his word. Can I let you know, family? Do you want to know what caused humanity to be in the problem of brokenness that we are in today? Simply because two people decided they weren't going to follow instructions. You want to know the reason why there's so much sin in the world? It's because two people decided they wanted to do their own thing and not do what God said. Who were these two people? Adam and Eve. When I was praying about this week, I said, God, could you show me, direct me to the first place in Scripture where we see this happen? And it was almost like God was like, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Genesis. Because if you remember, son, I told the first two people I created, y'all can eat from any tree in the garden. Matter of fact, here's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. It says, when God made humanity, the Lord commanded the man, in verse 16 of Genesis 2, you are free to eat. I love this. You are free, which means you're in a place of freedom. You're not in bondage. You are free to eat from any tree. Here's what the Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible don't tell us how many trees it was, but it had to be a lot. Because whenever God does something, he always does it big. He don't do it small. He says, you're free to eat from any tree. And they were like, any tree? Any tree in the garden. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on that day you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, for me, I'm like, you tell me not to mess with that tree? Logically, that says, don't go touch it. But let's be honest. We don't always follow what's logical. Come on. Because some of us, like, we sometimes give Adam and Eve a bad rap. Man, how did y'all mess up the whole thing? You would have did the same exact thing. How many times have you decided to do your own thing and you knew good and well you shouldn't do it? We like to look our nose down at Adam and Eve. God, you messed it up for all of us. You had it good. That would have been us. They represent us, fam. But God says, y'all eat from any tree. Just don't go mess with this one. And here's the crazy thing. Remember, everything that God created was good. Sometimes we think that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was bad. No, everything that God created was good. The problem was, maybe God didn't want them to have it when they wanted to have it. Maybe God had something different in mind for them to experience it. Maybe that was a tree that God says, you don't go pluck from this tree, I'll come bring it to you. Maybe God had intended all along to give them something from that tree. Maybe he was just, I just need y'all to wait and be patient. Just be patient. And so they're stringing along, and here comes Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Here's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? You know, I've never thought about this until this moment. How did this, it's interesting how the serpent knew God's word. Don't get it twisted. The enemy knows God's word better than you and I. How do we know? He used it against Jesus. Do you not think he won't try to twist it with you too? He said, did he really mean don't eat from it? He wants to cast doubt on God's word. And then what happens is doubt is now cast. And the Bible says this in verse 6. Says this, the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at. Do y'all know that some of the reasons we have issues in the areas of relationships is because of the lust of the eye? We want things that we see, even though what we see is not what we should want. God says, no. Just because you see it don't mean I want you to have it. But if I see it, I want it. Here the Bible says that she saw it was desirable for gaining wisdom. The Bible says this, she took some of it, of its fruit, and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And so now, y'all, they're in this place of shame. For the first time, they're feeling shame simply because now they disobeyed God's word. And now that they disobeyed God's word, now their eyes are open. Now sin is now coming into the world. Now they're feeling things that they should have never felt before because they exposed themselves to something they were never supposed to be exposed to. And now God is walking through the cool of the garden in the cool of the day, and he says, Adam, where are you? And whenever God asks a question, it's not because he needs to know where you are, it's because you don't know where you are. He says, where are you, Adam? Adam says, I hid from you. I was afraid. For the first time, we see fear now enter into the scriptures. He was afraid of the very one. Remember who said, you are free. So because they haven't followed instructions, now it's opened them up to certain things that they were never meant to experience. And watch what the Bible says here. He says this, then verse 11 says, then God asked them, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? Where did you get that lie from? Who told you that? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And y'all, here's what's happened. Because of that, it caused a breakdown in the relationship of God. It caused a breakdown in relationship with humanity. A chapter later, we see murder taking place, and we see the world now beginning to be in a tailspin, and things got so bad where God said, we're gonna start this whole thing over and flood the earth. All because two people didn't follow the instructions. When you and I try to build something without following the manual, it leads to a mess every single time. And I'm giving this message to us today because everything that I'm going to say for these next few weeks is connected to this. So if you and I don't get this message today, everything else that I say for these next few weeks isn't going to mean anything else, because I'm going to be laying out these different truths that God gives us pertaining to these different areas of relationships. But if we don't get in our mind, I got to do it God's way and follow his instructions, none of that other stuff will matter. I got to follow his instructions. And I believe that so much of the reason why relationships of all kinds, they fall apart, is because we either have a faulty manual or we won't follow the right manual. So we're either following faulty advice or we're being stubborn and not following the right advice. So we're following what culture says about dating and marriage, or we're following the advice of family members who don't subscribe to what God says. Or we're following the advice of friends who don't necessarily subscribe maybe to what God says. Or we're taking our relational cues from reality TV, from the Real Housewives of every other city in America. That because they did it, I gotta do it too. Or we're following and taking our cues from the latest Instagram influencer about how to build my marriage and how to date, not knowing that this person has not had a successful relationship at any point in their life. But they don't put that on Instagram. They only show their highlights. They giving you advice that they don't even believe in. They just know it sells. And so when we're following the culture's advice, we end up getting what culture gets. And so we're following the advice of social media pundits, and these are oftentimes where we're taking this relational advice from. But as I said last year in our relationship series, that I want to say again, we have to allow the one who designed relationships to define them. God is the one who designed marriage. God is the one who designed compatibility. God is the one who designed the family unit. God is the one who created sex. Sex was God's idea, not the enemy's. It comes from scripture, not from culture. Culture has hijacked it and perverted it. God says it's a beautiful gift, but every gift that I give always has guidelines. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. Parents, I'll let you know so that way you can prepare yourselves and prepare your kids too. But the question I want to ask us is this today, is who's been shaping our perspectives on dating? Who's been shaping our perspectives on marriage? Who's been shaping our perspectives when it comes to being single and when it comes to friendships and when it comes to parenting and when it comes to intimacy? Has it been culture or has it been scripture? Because I'm being formed by something. It's either God or culture. One is influencing my life more than the other. And if we want to see change and transformation and relational healing take place, our mindsets have to be changed when it comes to the area of relationships. It is what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. In other words, culture in this world has a pattern in which it does relationships. He says, stop conforming. In other words, stop adapting to that. Stop adopting that. Stop subscribing to. Don't conform. Don't follow that pattern of this world. But then he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you and I need a mindset shift when it comes to relationships. It means that I can't have the same perspective on dating as culture does. I can't have the perspective. Can I keep it a stack with y'all? It's 11 o'clock, so it's got to be real. I can't have the perspective that culture says where have sex with whoever you want. It doesn't matter if they're your spouse or not. And then what happens is I got a trail of bodies in my past. If I follow what culture says, I get what culture has. And culture is sick. You talking about a virus that's been spreading? It's been spreading since the beginning of time. So Paul says, don't conform to the pattern of this world because it don't line up with the ways of God, but be transformed. So in other words, we have to allow God to do a work on us in order for the relationship to work properly. And he's given us instructions, y'all, but we got to make up in our mind that we're going to follow him. We got to say, I'm not going to do my own thing any longer. I want you to write this down, that a disregard for the direction of God leads to deformed and dysfunctional relationships. A disregard for the direction of God leads to deformed and dysfunctional relationships. If I do it my own way, I'm going to get those results. But if I do it God's way, something different will happen. I'm going to give us three reasons as to why we should follow God's instructions. Number one is this. God's instructions are clear. And I love this about God. Because when it comes to how we should go about doing relationships, when it comes to purity, when it comes to how we should honor with our bodies and live and use our bodies, God gives us not something that's ambiguous. He gives us clear instructions. We don't have to wonder what's true. We can look at God's word and find what's true. So we don't have to wonder how our marriage should look. Look at God's word. Ephesians 5 tells us. We don't have to wonder how to build friendships. The scripture tells us. Look at the book of Proverbs. We don't have to wonder how we should raise our kids and how we should parent our kids and things of this nature. We don't have to wonder because if we just go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it begins to tell us. We don't have to wonder how we should reconcile relationships. The Bible tells us. It tells you to not hold a grudge towards anybody. It tells you to forgive. We don't have to wonder how we should honor God with our bodies. The Bible tells us. And I think the reason why this is so important is because we live in a time where there's so much confusion, y'all. People are confused about who they are and their identity. People are confused when it comes to how to go about loving people, how to go about being married. People are confused when it comes, I don't even know what to look for with somebody today. I don't even know. I don't know how to be a good friend. People are confused. But God is so good, y'all, that he says, I know you might be confused, but I got the answers. I got the instructions. Follow my instructions because they're clear. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 130. It says, the revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. Can we just all be honest in here today? I don't care how young or how old you are. All of us are inexperienced when it comes to relationships. We all are. And we need God's word to give us some revelation. We need God's word to give us some insight. I know you think you got it going on. Pastor, I've been in the dating game for a long time. I've been married for a long time, Pastor. I know the ins and outs of it. Let me help you understand something. That person that you might be married to might all of a sudden switch up the game on you at the drop of a hat. I thought I knew them. But then this happened. And I felt like I married a whole nother person. I'm here to let us know, family. None of us in here are experts. There's only one expert on relationships, and his name is Jesus. We're going to follow his instructions. I don't know if you've ever tried to build something before where the instruction manual just had pictures. It didn't give you no words. Now, some of y'all are more smart than me. I can't deal with instruction manuals that just give you a picture. I need, like, some words. So, like, when we go to IKEA and buy something from IKEA, and they just give you pictures with arrows, and the words that are up there are from like a different language, that don't help me. I need clear instructions as to how to build this thing that I'm building. And I want you to understand this, that with relationships, we don't need the confusing instructions of culture. We need the clear instructions of Scripture. When it comes to relationships, we don't need the confusing ideas of culture. No, we need what's clear from Scripture. We need to do it God's way. We got to come into alignment with what he says. Here's the second thing I want to give us, that God's instructions are not just clear, but they're also consistent. Everybody say consistent. Meaning this, his word doesn't change. People will say one thing today and say something completely different tomorrow. I read a book by a very well-known author a few years ago, and many consider him to be an expert in this area. Y'all, he came out with a book about 15 years ago, and a few years ago, he had to redo the book because some things that he had put in a previous book were failed. So he had to modify the copy. Can I help you understand something? God doesn't have to modify his word for anything. It's consistent. It doesn't change. And when you're building relationships and a perspective on them, we need something that's not going to change. We need something that's consistent. You can't build anything worthwhile that's not consistent. It's consistency. If you want to build better physical health, it means I got to be consistent. Come on. If I want to have better financial practices, it means I have to consistently have some self-control with my spending and saving. If I want to have better relationships, it means that I have to have some consistency in doing the things in those relationships that God has said. I got to be consistent, but that starts with building on the word, which is consistent. Here's what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 says. For all flesh is like grass, and all this glory like a flower of the grass. The grass withers and flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this word is the gospel that was proclaimed to you. The word of the Lord endures forever. Y'all, this thing right here has been around forever. Do you know how many people have tried to discredit this? I tried to destroy this, and it is still here today. Why? Because the one who authored it is still here today. He hasn't changed. This is what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He ain't changing, y'all. He stays who he is. And I don't know about y'all, but that gives me comfort, because in a world that's constantly changing, and in a society that's constantly changing, I can depend on the one who does not change. And whatever he said is what he said. I don't have to worry about him reneging on his word. No, he stays consistent to his word. He's true to it. I can build my life on this. I can build a marriage on this. I could build a worldview on this because it doesn't change. It is consistent. There's all kinds of strange teachings that are constantly emerging from generation to generation. One of the strange teachings today is that, hey, you might be married, but you can have something called open relationship, where you and your spouse maybe come to a place of agreement and recognize, hey, we're going to get all of our needs met in our marriage, so we're going to stay married, but we just agree that we're going to have other partners as well. Or it's, I don't want to be in a relationship with somebody, but I got a best friend of the opposite gender, and we're really close. There's benefits to this. Come on, don't get quiet now. I'm not saying you do. I'm saying this is the theology of today's time. This is the philosophy of today, and it runs counterintuitive to what God says. There's perspectives that say have sex with as many people as you can. Just don't get caught up. Don't commit to nobody, but be with everybody. Like, this is the way of the world. This is culture. But when you do what culture does, you get what culture has. And culture has divorce rates out the wazoo. Culture has heartbreak after heartbreak. Come on, I'm gonna be real. Culture has STD after STD. They not talking to me, Jesus, damn. I told y'all we're going to be real, because for so long what the enemy has been doing is he's been hijacking this area of relationships and purity and friendships and being single and dating, and he's been interjecting his lie to keep people in bondage. But I believe in Jesus' name that Jesus says, I've come to set the captives free, and the way that he sets us free is by giving us truth. He says, yeah, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, which means that the truth will set you free. The lie will keep you in bondage. And so long, what's happened, y'all, is we've been following the lies. And here's what happens, y'all. When we subscribe to the lies, it opens us up to pain that God never intended for us to experience. It was never God's intent for the whole world to be in shambles after Adam and Eve ate from the tree. That is where sickness came in. That is where death came in. That's where cancer comes in. Come on, that's where broken families come in. That's where murders, that was never God's intent. But what happens is when we don't follow the manual, it leads to a mess. And I don't know about you, but I'm at a place in my life where I don't got time to not be following instruction. No, I want to be at this place and juncture in my life where I'm saying, God, if you ain't with it, neither am I. I'm going to do only what you say I'm going to do. I'm going to do only what your word says I'm going to do. If your word don't say it, I'm not going to mess with it. Hands off. It might look appealing. It might look attractive. But you said don't mess with it. I don't want to mess with it. This word is consistent, y'all. It doesn't change. Here's the next thing I want to give you. Not only is this word clear, his word consistent, but his word is also credible, which means this, you can trust it. When it comes to God's instructions are trustworthy and reliable. It has been tested. This word, this book has stood the test of time. It has been tested. Scientists that don't even believe in God have gone to scripture to authenticate things that they see happening in everyday life. It has been tested. His instruction works. And oftentimes when it comes to advice and instruction on topics like dating and being single and relationships, people oftentimes subscribe to what's popular. But can I let you know that what's popular is not always what's right? Let me say it like this. If it's a sticky statement, I'll give you this. Everything that is viral is not valid. Just because it's trending does not make it true. And many times, oh man, there's a lot of views on this. Let me listen to this. I guess what he's saying is right. That's not true. You and I got to subscribe to truth, not to what's trending. And I'm going to let you know something. Truth doesn't always trend. It's not always popular. People might call you a weirdo. Girl, you single right now. Go live your best life. Get with as many men as you can till you get married. Stella got her groove back while you can. Hey, bro, you don't got to commit to her. Y'all can date for 30 years. You ain't got to put a ring on it. You good. I mean, you know, man, it's just a piece of paper anyway. Come on, don't act like you ain't hear this. This is what people say. You got to test drive some things. You know, before you buy the car, you got to test drive the car. You got to do the same thing in relationship, right? Yeah. Until the test drive leads to a wreck. Wreck your soul. And wreck your heart. And so what happens now is when we decide that we're not going to follow something credible, it leads to broken pieces. It leads to brokenness in our heart. And Jesus kind of speaks to this in Matthew 7 because he contrasts these two builders. He says one person is like the person who builds on a rock. Another person is like the person who builds on sand. He says the person who builds on the sand is the person who hears my word but doesn't follow them. He says the person who builds on a rock is the person who hears my word and follows my instructions. And he tells this parable in Matthew chapter 7. And he says, and a storm comes to both of those houses. And the storm comes to the house that was built on the rock, and it stood the test of time. It stood the elements. It stood the challenges. That person who follows my word will be one who is stable. But then he says, but the person who builds their life or their house on the sand, the storms came, the winds blew, and the house crashed and fell apart. And what God is trying to help us understand is when you and I don't build our life according to his word, it's bound to fall apart because of the foundation. And I wonder how long we've been building faulty foundations. I almost thought about calling this sermon The Missing Piece. Have you ever played Jenga before, and as that tower is getting higher, there's a piece that might be at the bottom that's kind of holding that up? No matter how beautiful this structure is, no matter how tall it is, but there's one piece, and if you pull that piece out from the bottom, the whole thing crashes down. Can I help you understand something? When Jesus is not at the bottom and holding that thing up, the whole thing crashes. Your marriage will crash. Your relationships with your kids will crash. Your identity crashes. Because anything that's not rooted in Jesus is bound to fall apart. But he says, but when you trust my word is credible. It is trustworthy. Here's what Psalm 119 verse 138 says. The statutes or the decrees you issue are righteous. Decrees is his word. Are righteous and altogether, say it with me, trustworthy. You can trust his word. You know people around you, you can't trust their word for nothing. Yeah, I'll be there in 10 minutes. An hour goes by, they're still not there. Can I let you know? Whatever Jesus has said, you can take it to the bank. It's trustworthy. Here's why. Because God's instructions are reliable because God himself is reliable. The reason why you can trust what he says is because he himself is trustworthy. And oftentimes relationships fall apart because they're built on human preferences rather than God's principles. And I believe that in this year, 2024, God is saying, I don't want you to build your perspective on anything relationship-wise, on anything else other than my word. You've tried to build it on things outside of his word, and it didn't work. But thank God that he is full of grace and mercy, that he gives us another opportunity to build things the right way. Do you know what I recognize too? Sometimes God has to let the whole thing fall apart to build it right again. Me and my kids, we've built Legos plenty of times, and there's been times where some steps were skipped, and I've had to break to them the bad news. Hey, buddy, we gotta tear this whole thing apart. Tears flow, disappointment happens. Because it's disappointment because you spent time with it, but it wasn't built right. And it's not gonna achieve the results that you want to achieve. But the second time around, we build it the right way. And it functions and it flourishes the way that it's supposed to. And I believe for some of us, God has allowed us to get to places where we are to show you, not to shame you, but to show you this thing wasn't built right from jump. You built this whole thing off of how they look as opposed to how their character is. You built this whole thing off of preferences rather than principles. And sometimes God allows things fall apart so that way we can build it right. And what happens when we build it right? The psalm writer tells us in Psalm 1, and I'm going to close with this scripture. Here's what the psalm writer says, and I love this. He says, the person whose delight is in the Lord's instruction, verse 2 of Psalm 1, he meditates on it day and night. Watch verse 3. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season. Watch this. And its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I don't know about y'all. That's the verse I want for my life. That whatever I do, that it will prosper. Not because I'm good, but because God's good. Not because I'm that smart, but because I'm building my things and building my life and building my perspectives according to the word of God, according to the instruction of God. And when you and I do that, it leads to blessings, y'all. You want to know the secret to a thriving household? Build it on Jesus. You want to know the secret to being fulfilled, even in certain areas of your body? Build it on Jesus. You want to know the secret to having a successful career? Build it on Jesus. You want to know the key to having a successful life? God's way, not culture's way. Build it on Jesus. Don't do it culture's way. Do it the King's way. Why? Because there is a blessing in following God's instructions, but there's also a burden in not following God's instructions. And some of you have been burdened down for too long. God says, aren't you tired? It's time for you to be free. It's time for you to start building it the right way. And the writer of Psalms tells us that there's blessings. He says, how happy is the one who doesn't follow the advice of the wicked? That word happy is the same word bless. And I don't know any person in here who doesn't want to live a happy life. Some of y'all have heard the saying, happy wife, happy life. I want to let you know, you can have a happy life even if you don't have a wife or a husband at all. Because it's not about who's necessarily in your life per se. It's about, what are you building on? Are you building it on Jesus, the foundation? And he says, that person will prosper. That word prosper means to be successful. I don't know any person in here. I'm pretty sure every single person on the sound of my voice, you want to be successful. But you want to do it God's way. And when you do it God's way, Here's the crazy thing, y'all. Whatever he does, it prospers. It's like you got the Midas touch. That whatever you touch, it just prospers. But you know what it is? It's not you. It's the favor of God on your life. Because when your foundation is on God, the favor of God finds you. So I'm going to talk about being single and talk about dating. Because one of the things that we see in Scripture is Adam never asked God for a wife. God sent her. Pastor, are you telling me not to like myself out there? That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, when we do it God's way, you don't got to go chasing things or people. Things and people come chasing after you. They find you. So goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will follow. Find you. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment. I believe that if we're going to see a change and transformation in relationships, it's going to come by us not doing our own thing, but by doing it God's way. Building it on his instructions. Whenever something has gone wrong in my life that I had to do with, it's because I decided I was going to be in charge and not God. And I'm pretty sure all of us can agree with that. That we had God's way, but then we had our way or culture's way. And we decided I'm going to do it the way I want to. Well, if we do it the way that we want to, we can't be surprised with the results that come with it. I think slashing somebody's tire is a great way to build a relationship. Song from a few years ago, bust out the windows of your car. I don't think that's the way to build a good relationship. I think God says, it can be different and it can be better. So for some of us, your mindset has to change when it comes to this area. Some of them I had to come to the reality, but I've believed all of my life is actually wrong. What I believed about marriage was wrong. The examples of marriage I got in my life, they are terrible. I thought they were good, but when I peeled back the layers, oh my gosh, it's messy. I do a God. And I believe if we do it God's way, y'all, we will save ourselves so much heartache, so much pain, so much frustration. It doesn't mean that everything will be perfect. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a broken world, so there's always going to be a need for God's grace. But man, if we do it God's way, there are some things we just don't have to experience, y'all. Some of us say, experience is the best teacher. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a good teacher. It's not the best teacher. You know what the best teacher is? Truth. I need God's truth. And when I base my life off his truth, the truth sets me free. It leads to prosperity. So during this series, I'm going to let you know this series is going to cut us deep. Oh, it's going to cut. But it's not a cut to wound you, it's a cut to heal you. The word of God is not a butcher's knife, it's a surgeon's scalpel. To cut out areas of our life and in our mindset that are toxic, that we've been subscribed to, that are poisonous to our well-being spiritually and relationally. I believe in faith that during this series, there's going to be relationships that have been broken for so long that healing is going to take place. I believe in Jesus' name that things that we have believed for so long will be now corrected. This is why we're doing a Remastered Marriage Conference. This is why not too long after that, we're going to do something like a singles night to speak to us as singles. How we can honor God in our singleness, no matter how young you are, old you are. I believe that Jesus wants to set us free. I believe that the kingdom should set the greatest example of what relationships look like for the world to see. That when the world looks at the kingdom, they should say, that's the better way. That when the world and when culture looks at the marriages of the local church and the church at large, they say, that's what we've been looking for. Show us the way, and then we can point them to the one who is the way, and his name is Jesus. That's what we're about. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, some of you are here today, and you've been doing life on your own. You've been building life your own way. I'm going to just be real with you. It's not going to work. It might be working now. It's not going to work for long. Some of you in here, your relationships are on E right now. They're on life support. Maybe because you haven't been doing it the King's way. But for some of us, you can't get relationships with others right until you first get your relationship with God right. You don't even know what love is until you know the one who is love. You can't love nobody if you don't know God's love first. And for some of you today, you need to receive him. You need to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's simple. All you have to do is place your faith in him and say, Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want to trust in you. I receive your salvation. I believe that you died for my sins. If that's you today, you're saying, I want to enter into a relationship with Jesus today. I want to know his love. I want to know his grace. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, on the count of three, just shoot your hand up. If this is you, you want to enter in a relationship with him. On the count of three, shoot your hand up. One, two, three. If this is you, amen. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Bless God. Amen. Those of us who have raised our hand, for those of us who are online, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, would you save my life? I receive you as my Lord. I receive you as my Savior. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. I repent and I turn to you. Be my Lord. Be my leader. I will build my life on your word. And not on culture. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate God and his goodness today for all that he's done? Come on, I saw some hands go up. I saw some people saying yes to Jesus. Come on. We celebrate him for all that he has done. And listen, if you're here today and you raise your hand, I want you to know that you made the greatest decision that you will ever make. And we want to say welcome home. Amen, somebody. If you're online, we say that to you as well. But if you recently, if you just prayed that prayer, like today is the day where you said, I'm coming into the kingdom. I want to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm asking you to do. If you could just please do me a huge favor, because we want to serve you well. I want you to take that blue and white connection card in that seat pocket in front of you. And I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. Fill that out and drop that in the drop box on your way out. If you're watching online, I want you to simply text I decided to 94,000 and we'll follow up with you. It's really just us connecting with you because we want to help you walk out this Christian walk. We want to help you be who God has called you to be. But most of all, on behalf of the kingdom of God, we say welcome home. Church family, can we celebrate God for all that he's done? Come on, can we give God praise for the new people who come to faith in Jesus Christ today?
Amen. Amen. Was that word powerful for you today? Did it do something in you? This is just step one of a whole series, right? And so if that was impactful for you, I believe that there are people in your life who need to hear that. And so invite them to be here next week. Before we go today, we always give the opportunity to give. You are never pressured to give here at The Bridge. But it is because of the generosity of people who do give that we can do things like have Remastered for free. Amen. And so by doing that, you're sowing a seed not only into the kingdom, into the house, but I believe those seeds are being sowed into your life as well. Amen. We're benefiting from seeds that have been sown by somebody, by lights and things and sound, all those things. Somebody had to sow a seed to pay for those things, right? And so if we can benefit from it, I believe we also can contribute to it. Amen. So if you want to give, you can do that by filling out the envelope in the seat in front of you, pass it in the drop box as you leave today, or you can give online. There's many different ways in which you can do that. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to get ready to go this week. We've had an awesome time of worshiping together, and now we get to go out into our lives and bring some of this joy into the lives of the people that we're connected to. And one person we can do that for today is Mr. James, who's outside greeting you today. He's wet, and he stood out there. And so as you're leaving today, say thank you to him for just being out there. All of our team serves so well, but on a day where it's like pouring down raining and you're standing outside waving and smiling, the least we can do is say thank you. Amen. Amen. But let's pray before we go. Lord, we thank you because you are good. We thank you because you are with us, Lord. We thank you because you have provided the foundation of what relationships should look like, Lord God. And so we will follow your instruction this week. We will follow your lead as you guide us. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week.